Sunday night or when was Esar B'Teves? Thursday, so it must be early Yud Gimel Teve, something like that. Yud Dalet, thank you. And Hakka L'Kovet Zeh, we're in Perek Yud Dalet. And Shmaitz Obey is Perek Yud Dalet. Yud Tesvav. Yeah, but everything's based on Yud Dalet, that's what I meant. And we're in Perek Tesvav, and we're going to, you know, people should call up Mr. Nussbaum. Just give him a call, tell him we love him. And he's okay, I'm not a citizen. But he hurt himself, and he goes out. But he can't make it here. Tell him you miss him, that's all. He'll feel good. Make a Jew feel good. Yeah. So, we're in Shmaitzer Beis. We're going to start in Perek Tesvav. And we're going to start it up to V'lachay Niril Anius Daiti. And the Shmaitz was dealing with the Beis Shmuel's Kasha on the Magid Mishnah. Whoa, that's a mouthful. We all know Rabbi Gamliel's din, Rabbi Gamliel's basic din, that a woman's neman to say l'kosher nivalti. We're dealing with it now not from the perspective of kahuna, but we're dealing with it from the perspective of kashalavoy b'koho. Okay? And the Magid Mishnah says that the reason she's neman, we have a lot to, Magid Mishnah is like, because the Magid Mishnah doesn't deal with her nemonus l'gabi psul kahuna, where the whole Magid Mishnah's reasoning doesn't apply. But tzubislach, which is Yiddish, for little by little, the Shmaitzer will deal with all the issues. Right now, we just started. He brought down the whole sugya in Perek Yudalit, and now we're starting to make our way through the sugya. So he starts with the Magid Mishnah, with the Rambam's din, that she's nemon to say he's not a mamzer. He's kosher lovei b'kol. He wouldn't be kosher lovei b'kol if he's a mamzer, obviously, but even if he's not a mamzer, there's a din of a shtuki, that rabbonon asud sofik mamzer, we call it. He's also lovei b'kol midir rabbonon, midir raisa sofik mamzer's mutter, midir rabbonon he's called a shtuki, and he's given a status where he's not allowed to come to call. That means she can remove the shtuki status by saying l'kosher nival. Now why? So the Magid Mishnah doesn't deal with the derabbanon iser, because that you can easily say it's also a derabbanon, and they decided to believe her. But the Magid Mishnah deals with why she's nemon l'gabi the suffik the arises. He says what we all know, we've been learning about since we started learning Shmaitzer, basically, that suffik mamzus mutim in HaTorah. That's the reason for an emonus, meaning that problem is taken care of. The suffik mamzer on the deraisa level is because of suffik mamzer's mutter deraisa. Very simple teretz, it would seem. So the Beis Shmuel asks, wait a second, the Gemara says that Gamliel says she's nemon even by Royiv Psulim. Now to have Royiv Psulim by kahuna is not so hard. All you need is Rov Goyim in the city. And the Gemara happens to be talking about L'Kahuna. When you're talking about Lavoi B'Kol, so Roy Psulim is a little more far-fetched, but what's the difference? We're dealing with the principle of the matter. The principle is that even by Roy Psulim, she's Naman. No one ever stood up and said, when it comes to Lavoi B'Kol, you know, she's not Naman by Roy Psulim. Nobody does that. Rabbi Gamliel says, everything's based on Rabbi Gamliel Shita, and he says she's not even by Reif Psulim. So that's the Beis Shmuel's Kasha. So he dealt with it in the first half of Tesvav and different Terutzim of the Beis Shmuel and being Doichet the Terutzim of the Beis Shmuel. And now he's going to give a teres to the Beis Shmuel's Kasha on the Magid Mishnah. What about by Reif Psulim? Ostensibly, by Reif Psulim, she would be also with the Oraisa Lovoi Bukol. I neglected to say the question. Ostensibly, if Rabbi Gamliel says she's not even by Roy Psulim, but by Roy Psulim, then the Chora, she would be also Lovei B'Kol on the Diyaraisa level, because we'd follow Roy. So, how can you say that her Nemonus is based on the fact that even without her say-so, it's Mutter on the Diyaraisa level? That is the Beis Shmuel's Kasha on the Magid Mishnah. V'lochei Niril Anius Taiti, yeah, everybody have it? Baruch Atah. Uvi Masha Kozum Mashita Mukubetus Parakam the Bumitsuya. Gabi Kovat Zekal Mana Manuyan Latoho, the Potterman Amaiser, Manuyan, right, Maiser Bema, you count them out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th one gets a red, what is it called? A red slayer? Whatever. You make a red dye on it, and that's number 10. As the others pass Tachas HaShevet, as it's called, so they become Potter from Iser Behemah. That's how it's looked at. So if one of the Menuyin already, one of those that have been counted already, jumped back into the herd, so it's not Botel, because it's a Bria, it's not Botel, it's a Balchai, it's a Bria, and so he patters them all, because of, there's a din of Asiri Vaday Veloy Asiri Sofek. Just like there's Mams of Vaday Veloy Mams of Sofek. So for some reason, Chazal knew, or that even though it says the word Asiri, that's all it says, like it's a very innocent word, Chazal knew that the Drasha is Asiri Vaday Veloy Asiri Sofek. Maybe because of the nature of counting, Mams are also, it's not so clear where the Drasha comes from. And we said, like, you know, don't eat chazer, so maybe it's chazer vaday v'lo chazer sofek. And some say that that is the Rambam's source. But I don't want to get back into that. I'm just pointing out that asiri vaday v'lo asiri sofek is not such a simple drasha. Maybe, but I grant that by a number it's easier to daher what the drasha might be. Because a number is, by nature, mathematics, is vaday. So you say 10, it has to be Taka 10. That's one of the terutzim to why we don't count Sfira, Sveka Diyoma, why we don't do two Sfiras. Because it would be lacking in the Heftza of Sfira, if you're not sure what day it is. If you treated it as a lack of, you're not sure, so it would, both Gefelt and Sfira, as they say in Yiddish, it would be lacking in the Heftza of Sfira. If you're not sure about a Svara, you always throw the word Chepsa in, it always makes it sound better. Chepsa of Sphira. Anyway, so here also, maybe, Asir Vadavle Asir Safik. So every animal that comes out, every group of 10, Koshkein, every 10th one, so you're not sure if it's Taka the 10th one, you're not sure if you have a group of 10, because maybe that previous one that was already counted is part of this group. So, right? Maybe it's part of this group. So, and it's put there already, so you don't really have 10. Maybe. So it's Asiri Vaday Veloy Asiri Sofek. So they all end up being Potter. Even if you have 1,000 animals left. But since this one might be in any group of 10 that you select, so it's Asiri Vaday Veloy Asiri Sofek. The Hikshu, Toysus is, Toysus is, Shonim is, the called the Porish, Meruba Porish. Enechanami is not Botel, but Rove. There's different concepts. Rove has different effects. You can have Bittel Barov, which is not Botel, because it's an animal, it's a Bria, whatever. But then you have called the Porish, Meruba Porish, even without Bittel. As you draw an animal out of the herd to count it, so the rule of Kol Deporish Meruba Porish should tell you that this is coming from the set of the majority, and therefore it's a non, it's not that animal that jumped. I mean, you have 1,000 to 1, Roivan Miot. The T rates and the Toysus Yishonim answers, the Shita answers, Mishun the Kol Deporish Meruba Porish Eino Vadai. Vatora Omra Asiri Vadai Velo Asiri Sofik Ayin Sham. You haven't solved your essential problem. Your problem started off with, I mean, the din is based on Asiri Vaday Veloy Asiri Sofek. You haven't solved that problem with the halachic legal rule of Kol Deporish Meruba Porish has not effected a Vaday. As we're familiar with, the Shmaitz is about to say it, he's about to explain it a little more. Not a lot more, but a little more. But we're already familiar with the idea that when you have a sofek, the Torah provides legal solutions. Two Edim might walk in and just clarify the suffix. And maybe some things do clarify the suffix. The Torah said, like, I am letting you know that this clarifies the suffix. It's poshet the suffix. But the things we learned, like Chazaka and now the Shemaitzer will discuss Rov, so that's what he's saying now. The halacha of the Torah to follow it is a halacha, it's a legal solution. It tells you what to assume. You can't assume this, you can't assume that. But it doesn't clarify what happened in the sense of Birur, not really. Shmaitza says, in fact, V'hainu davogav danu holchen basa deporish meruba porish. Bein lehokul, bein lehachmer. I don't want you to think that we're questioning the Torah. We say it even lehokel. Einu ela mitzad halacha, aval einu vadai. It means it's a legal, it's a legality. Maybe, I don't like the word hanhoga, and you know that. That's why you're laughing. You were waiting for me to say it. You pressed the button. I don't like the word hanhoga, but I'll tell you why. Maybe you, if you want to like it, good. You know, you want to go on Facebook and press like, it's fine. The reason I don't like the word hanhoga is because if it doesn't mean what I'm about to say, then I would also like it. I feel it implies that we're bechlal oblivious to the suffix, and it's just telling us what to do. Like, okay, go eat it. And if that's what hanhoga means, then it's for sure it's wrong. Certainly, the Torah is not oblivious to the suffix. I think the key word is it's a legal assumption. It's not. It doesn't tell you, like, two edim is also only a legality, by the way. There's plenty of things that even two people could lie about. The Rambam, I mean, it should be Pashut and Svara, but just in case it's not, the Rambam definitely, in two places in the Arach HaZokah, definitely describes two Edim as a Gzeres HaKosuv. It's a Chok, it's a Gzeres HaKosuv. You don't know if they're telling the truth or not. How do you know? You're not administering a lie detector test. Okay, I don't want to get into that.
He says two.
Yeah, why two, or three, four. But there, so everything's Gzeres HaKosuv. But I've had long arguments about this with the Art Scroll, with certain people in Art Scroll. Everything's Gzeres HaKosuv. Nothing. Everything's Gzeres HaKosuv. Okay. But some Gzeres HaKosuvs, I mean, here's the best raya. You go to someone, you say, two Edim. They go, oh, two Edim's a Birur. Mommy's a Birur. Then you show them the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Torah says, Al Pishnai Edim Yokum Dovar, even if you don't know if they're telling the truth or not. That's the Rambam's lashon. In two different places, Yad HaChazakah, talking about two different things. One, he's comparing it to a Navi. One, he's comparing it to listening to a Navi. That if someone's Huchzak to be a Navi, you must listen to him, even though if you don't know if he is or not. But he's Huchzak to be a Navi. Just like, and the Rambam, like in a total, like, non sequitur almost, says, just like the Torah tells you to believe two Edim, even if you don't know if they're telling the truth or not. Like, out of nowhere, the Rambam throws that curveball at you. And then, in Hilchas Toyin V'Nitan, I believe, in Chesha Mishpat, in the Rambam Mishpatim, what? If you knew they were telling the truth, you wouldn't need to believe them. That's a funny sentence, but I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean. If you believed them truly and be'emes, and you were allowed to believe them, then it wouldn't be Al Pi Shnayim Edim Yokum Dover. It would be Al Pi the Truth Yokum Dover. It wouldn't, but that was a very lumdish point. I don't know if the Olam's ready for that. That was a very, very lumdish point. That it wouldn't be Al Pi Shnayim Edim Yokum Dover, it would be Al Pi the Truth Yokum Dover. It's a very good point. The Rambam in Mishpatim, the Rambam in Mishpatim says, like, if the, he says, sometimes the Dayanim, it's not what you're saying, the Rambam says, sometimes the Dayanim, if the Dayanim know the truth, they could paskin by Mominus, not by Nefoshos, but by Mominus, by monetary matters, the Dayanim could paskin if they know the truth. He says, so when did the Torah say to listen to two Eidim, the Rambam says? If you don't know the truth, if you don't know. So now, okay, you could say easily, and people do say, yeah, the Rambam means you don't know without the Eidim. But now that the Eidim tell you, you do know. But like you say, if that's what the Rambam meant, so the Rambam doesn't care how you found out, then it would be Nichal already in the Dayanim knowing. Right? So like, why would the Rambam say such a lashon? So, did they let him know? How do they know? Because two Eidim told them. So why? But the Rambam like makes two categories out of it. One, did they let him know? And one, two Eidim told them. So you could action. You could be stubborn. You could be metakesh and say, I don't mean like, okay. But for the other Rambam by a Novi, it's maybe more clear.
It's not to say two Eidim are in a biru. They are a biru. It just doesn't mean it's objective emes. It's not like chazaka.
Like I say, everything's exeris hakosif. Here, the Torah said, "Al pishnayim Eidim yakum dover." It's a higher level of assumption. It's assume what they're saying is true. Chazaka doesn't say assume that the chazaka is true. It says assume what the chazaka tells you. Doesn't say assume that the chazaka is true. Mm-hmm. Assume that it's true she's an Ashish ish. It just the Gzeres HaKosov comes in at a different point in the equation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what the Shmaitz is really attempting to explain here. That Rove does not so the word Hanhoga, I don't like the word anhaga because it implies we're mistalek from the suffix and we're being just robotic. Eat the food, don't eat the food, which probably is not true. I like the word assumption. It's telling you to assume it's kosher. It's not telling you to me the word anhaga means close your eyes to the question if it's kosher or not and eat it or don't eat it. And I don't think that's the case. That's why I don't like the word anhaga. If that's not what anhaga means, so fine. If anhaga means what I'm saying now, and it's called anhaga because it's not a birur ha-emes, it's only telling you what to assume, so fine, I don't mind. I have nothing personal against the word anhaga. If anhaga means you haven't clarified the truth, you're just being misnaig a certain way because of an assumption, you're allowed to assume, so that's cool. That's fine. We're not going into that. That's what we're going to bug with. See ya. Yes, don't say no. We're not going with Bittle now. I know. We're putting it aside because Bapashas, we're not dealing with Bittle Barov. We're dealing with Kol Deparish. Bittul is a whole different dynamic. The question is, does Bittul have a different dynamic? That's for that, you have to learn the Sugya of Rov, but maybe we'll see it in Shmaitz and Gimel or Dalit. There's Rav Shimon, that's already heavy. To talk about Bittul Barov, which we all assume there's a specific dynamic going on called Bittul. And not that it's any type of assumption or birur or telling you what the thing is. It's pasul bittul. There's something going on. It's bottle. Like bittul chametz. It's bottle. You're being mevatel it. It's bottle. So I don't want to bring in bittul now. I don't want to bring in bittul now. I know. I'm aware. We're dealing with called the porish, meruba porish. Trust me, okay? We're dealing with called the Porish Meruba Porish, which is not Bittul. Called the Porish Meruba Porish is definitely not Bittul Barov. And it is this type of Biror or assumption or Hanhaga, call it what you want. It's addressing a Suffolk and it's saying that when you have the Koach of Rov, because of called the Porish Meruba Porish, you can assume it's from the Rov. I mean, that's what called the Parish means. You have a Taruvos, and you have two sets within the Taruvos, two subsets, I don't know what you call it. You have the set of the Taruvos and two subsets within the set, the majority subset and the minority subset. So called the Parish says, you can assume it came from the set or subset of the majority. So says the Shmaitza, or Tosfos Yeshanim, and the Shmaitza is explaining it, it's still not a Vadai. Because you see, once it's not a Birur, it's not a Heftz of a Vadai. Once it's an assumption, so the Heftz remains a Sofek, and it's like Hanhogah. It's like Hanhogah. I would say, it's telling you to make an assumption, but it recognizes the fact that the essential Sofek is untouched. Assumption is a chitzoni thing. Assumption's chitzoni. Assume this. It admits that you don't know. That means the essential suffix is still there, and that's what the Shemites is learning in the Tosfos Yeshanim, that for Asiri Vadai Veloy Asiri Suffix, you have to have crawled into and gotten it to the kishkis that it's not a suffix anymore. It's a Vadai. And here, with all the good intentions in the world, with Kol Deporish, with Chazaka, whatever you want to throw at it, it's the essential Sofek is untouched. And therefore, it's still Asiri Vadai, although Asiri Sofek. Veinam Isvara Lomar, Deporish Yoysa Meiruba. Please, let me. The Shmaitzer throws in what Rav Shimon spends a lot of time talking about, Rav Shimon Shkop and Shari Yosher. And that is, the Shmaitzer is equating the Birur as opposed to just being anhoga. Let's even use the word anhoga just to differentiate. He throws in the fact that it's not logical. He throws in the fact that Rove is not logical. That's what I'm saying. Right. Well, the Parish Birur is not logical. Apparently, the Shmaitzer holds that if cold, maybe, I'm not a statistician, I'm not a mathematician, and I'm not a logician. The Shmaitzer says, please. No, it's not me, you don't have to be sorry to me. I want to get to the point of the Shmaitzer. The Shmaitzer says that if cold the Porish, Meruba Porish would be logical, if there would be a logic to it, not a logic to it, I shouldn't say that. I think he means compellingly logical. He doesn't just mean, hey, it's rational. It's not an irrational gzeres hakosef like Parah Aduma. He means it's not compellingly logical. He says even the words, Beinu besvara loma deporish yoysa meruba, v'yochol lios deporish min amiyot kamo min arov. Now, I don't know if he's talking Hilchus statistics. I don't know if there are Hilchus statistics. I don't know what a statistician would tell you, but Rav Shimon talks about this at length, and Rav Shimon also says those words, that there's a 50-50 chance. There's a 50-50 chance. They're equal. They're not. There's no mechayev in the world. There's no koach. There's no koach in the bria. Compellingly logical, to me, means there's a koach in the bria saying it's so. There's nothing compelling saying it came from the Rove as opposed to the Miut. I think anybody would say, but the rabbi, it's not true, but rabbi, there is a 75% chance that it came from the Rove. So my answer to that is that 75% is just a statistic. It's not real. It doesn't predict what's going to be. It's like saying 75% chance of rain, right? So, you know, you wonder if you should take an umbrella or not, but there's nothing in the Bria now. There's no 70, that 75% is not in the Bria. It's just a statistic, meaning, I don't know, if you went to Las Vegas and you had to talk about the future, and you're not a Navi, and you're going to place a bet, so you're better off betting that it will rain. But there's nothing that's not going to make Asiri Vadai the way Asiri Sofek, because it's not embedded in the Bria. That's what he means, it's not logical. If it would be logical, I think by logical, I'm again, Rav Shimon talks about this at length, and we're not really doing it justice in this short discussion. I think he's saying it's not, if it would be compellingly logical, it means it would be, to my mind, embedded in the Bria. Wait, I have to send a message to say. Can you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. Go over to Sasson, ask him if he got Patches's email that he apologizes profusely, but he's sick, he can't come tonight. Patches. He sent an email an hour and a half ago. I don't know if he saw it. Yeah, that's what he means. If it would be compellingly logical, it would be like embedded in the Bria. And then it would be a Biru. A Biru. A statistic is just a statistic. I don't know. That's the best I can do in this. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
If you look at it, look at like you're talking about a rogue is 1% of his land, 90%. So that's very logical. But if you say if all the boris, we were boris, why the rogue is only 51%?
So it's the sign goes on.
That is not. That is really not logical.
You have to be wrong. Why do you have to be wrong? Because nowhere is that chiluk stated. Nowhere is it stated if the Shittim Mekubetzes answers that Kol DePorish Meruba Porish are still Asiri, under the rule of Asiri Vadei V'lo Asiri Safek. Nowhere does it say that there's a certain threshold that once you pass that threshold, then it becomes Asiri Vadei. It doesn't say it anywhere.
What I'm saying is it's the rule of Kol DePorish Meruba Porish includes the case of 51%. Since it includes that case, why no? That's not a smart.
But it includes even the case of 1,000 to 1. I don't know what you're coming to say. Are you suggesting that there is a certain threshold when it would become Asiri Vadei? Answer the question. I'm like, I've been in court. Yes or no? I don't want to hear your stories. Yes or no?
He said no.
It's up to the other lawyer on redirect to get out the truth. This guy is trying to make you lie. But it equally has to be true that it's never a svara, or else there would be a threshold when it would become Asiri Vadei V'lo Asiri Sofek. It would be Asiri Vadei, and that is not suggested by anyone. Okay.